like to be able to say Barksha Patrani, but not going to work. All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Nun. We are picking up on Nun. We're dedicating our learning today in the Zuchus of Refuah Shleima for Rabbi Hapfer HaRav Yaakov Ben Chana Hendel. We hope in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he will have a complete and enduring Refuah, as well as a Refuah Shleima for Yaakov David Ben Avigail. We hope in the merit of our Talmud Torah, these Cholim and Kol Chola Yisrael have a complete and enduring refuah. So we're picking up today on Daf Nun. So remember again, yesterday we began to discuss some of the Takanos Usha, some of the interesting Takanos that were made ultimately in the city of Usha. So now we're speaking about in the realm of Kiddushin. So now we're going to go ahead and focus on a couple of areas as well. So Amar Rabbi Eloy, said the following. Usha, Hiskinu, in Usha they instituted the following idea. Hamevazvez ayivazmez yosir mechomash. So we'll say famous halacha, that if you're going to go ahead and give away your money, if you want to give away money to tzedakah, you're not permitted to give away more than 1/5 of your collective wealth. You know, you're sure to bring down that it doesn't apply to building funds. I just want to mention this. I want to throw that out. You're not allowed to give away more than 1/5 of your collective wealth. Tanya, we have a brisa that supports this. Hamavazvez ayivazmez yosir mechomesh. We have a brisa that supports this as well. That if you're going to go ahead and give away your money, you can't give away more than 1/5 of your total wealth. Why? Shem yitzdarech lebrios. Because we'll say, essentially, one is not permitted to give tzedakah in a way that could lead to one impoverishing themselves. Because obviously, that's a little bit that defeats the purpose. If you're going to give and give and give until the point that you become one in need, then by definition, one undermines the very purpose of tzedakah. So listen to this. There was once an episode where someone wanted to give away more than 1/5 of their wealth. Velo hiniach lo chavero, and his friend did not permit him. Who was it? Who did not permit it? Umanu, Rabbi Yeshavev. Va'amrila, others say no. Rabbi Yeshavev was the one who wanted to give away the money. Velo hiniach chavero, and his friend didn't let him. And who was the friend? Umanu, Rabbi. Excuse me. Hiniach velo hiniach chavero. Umanu, Rabbi Akiva. Some Rav Nachman. Vitim Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So Rav Nachman and some say Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, Maikra. What is the pasuk? Meaning, where do we get this idea from? Now, both say, obviously, when Chazal say you can't give away more than 1/5, I don't need a pasuk for that. What Chazal are saying is, we want a person to be able to safeguard some of their wealth, to be able to make sure they're sustained. So 1/5, giving away 1/5 of your total wealth. Remember, this is your total value, not necessarily your salary. This is talking about, let's say, my estate, or how much I am worth with all of my assets. So remember, Chazal don't need a pasuk for this. Chazal have the right to say, you know, we believe that up to 1/5 is a safe number, that a person does not compromise themselves. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, from where at least do Chazal see a hint, a scriptural allusion to a fifth? So the pasuk says, V'chol asher titen li, aser aasrenu lach. Because we'll say, interesting enough, when Yaakov Avinu, remember, this is when Yaakov Avinu is running away from home, and he has that incredible vision with the ladder in Beit El, and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wakes up the next morning, and he makes a promise that if you're going to be with me the entire time, then I promise that everything, when I come back, I'll make kira matseva, and everything you give me, aser aasrenu loch. So the Gemara says, the Gemara dashes, aser aasrenu, which means what? 2/10. And I will say, now it's interesting because, you know, the Maharsha says, but that's not really fair, right? So 2/10 is 1/5. So remember, technically speaking, just if you're doing the math, if you take 1/10 and then you take 1/10 of that, so obviously the second 1/10 is going to be less than the first 1/10. But remember, the Gemara doesn't need an explicit pasuk. The Gemara is just looking for a remez. So two maestros, aser asrenu lach, that's the remez for the fifth. I v'halo dami isura basra li isura kamas. Now the Gemara says, 1 second. The second 1/10 is not going to be like the first 1/10. Amar Ravashi, asrenu lebasra ki kama. No, the way we darshan it is, make the second 1/10 like the first 1/10. Okay, so Moshe says, this was another takana in Usha, not to give away more than one-fifth of your money. And Moshe, I want to point out, again, not our topic for today. We'll speak about it maybe a little bit more in some of the Baba Gemaras as well. But there are exceptions to this rule. The Shulchan Aruch discusses in Yerdei and Hilchos Tzedakah, where there is a person who has such a vast amount of wealth that even giving away more than a fifth will not in any way compromise them. There are exceptions made to this rule. Just bear that in mind. So I'm Rav Ashi. We'll see these sugyas in a little while. I'm Rav Simi Bar Ashi. Ushmuas halalu misma'atos v'holchos. So Rav Simi Bar Ashi said, these rulings that came out from Usha, literally misma'atos v'holchos, are diminishing as they go along. So what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Shmos halalu, Rabbi Eloi betakanas Usha. So these particular takanas that were stated in the name of Rabbi Eloi that came out of Usha, misma'atos v'holchos. Listen to this. Me'amoraim harishona, Am Rabbi Eloi, Am Reish Lakish, Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, Hashnir Rabbi Eloi, Am Reish Lakish, Shlishis Rabbi Eloi v'chuda. So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is we've seen three different takanas, right? Three different takanas. Takana number one is that you have to go ahead and support your young children even past the age of 6 until a bar bat mitzvah. Takana number two is that if you give all of your property to your children, they must support you from that property. And takana number three was you may not give away more than one-fifth of your estate. What the Gemara is pointing out over here is interesting that in the beginning, now all these were stated by Rabbi Eloi. In the beginning, Rabbi Eloi was saying, it was Rabbi Eloi in the name of this one, said in the name of this one. Then it was Rabbi Eloi who said in the name of this one, and then it was just Rabbi Eloi who said. So the takanos, kind of misma'atos, the Gemara says, are lessening, meaning Rabbi Eloi is not telling them over in the name of people anymore. V'simanich, and if you want to remember this, you could say Kitanim, Kasvu, Ubizbizu. So we'll say if you want to remember the three takanos, it's Kitanim, Kasvu, Ubizbizu. I don't know if that's helpful or not, but I guess at least in terms of the Gemara, that was helpful for someone. So Kitanim, Kasvu, because remember, Kitanim is the case you have to support your minor children until they become Bar Bat Mitzvah. Kasvu, if you write all of your property to your children, they have to support you. And Bizbizu. Bizbizu, you cannot be mavazis, you cannot spend more than on tzedakah, more than one-fifth of your entire value. Amar Rav Yitzchak, so we'll say, listen, this is another interesting halacha. Amar Rav Yitzchak, bu'usha hiskinu, she'adam miskalgel, im b'no ad shtei mesrei shana. And I will say, this is also fascinating because it shows you how paradigms of chinuch have changed clearly throughout the ages. So Rav Yitzchak said, in Usha, they were instituted, that a person should be miskalgel. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Megalgel im b'no, im misarev milimo. We'll say, let's say my son doesn't want to learn. So what do I do? So the Gemara says, "Megalgel im bino." Rashi says, "Im misarev milamah." My son doesn't want to learn. Yegalgel imo benaches ubedvarim rakim. Right. So take it easy on him. Right. Don't come down with a sledgehammer. Just go ahead and take it easy on him. So ashtei mesrei shana mikan ve'elech yoreit imo lechayiv. But Rabbi Osei, once he enters his 12th year and he's not getting himself straight, Rashi's Yoridi Omo Lechayev, is actually very, Lirdoso, Birtsua, Pachim, Ubechoser Lechem, no dinner. No dinner, Choser Lechem. So it's interesting. Ini, is that so? Vaha Amarle, Rav, Lirav Shmuel Bar Shilas, but yet Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Betzir mi bar shis lo takbil, I don't want to see a student in yeshiva less than 6 years old. Rashi says Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas was a malami tinokos haya. He was a rebbe in a cheder, right? Malami tinokos means a rebbe of young children. So listen to this. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas said, "I don't want to see a kid in school less than 3 years. It's less than 6 years old." We'll say it's just so. We're going to discuss this because it has a lot of contemporary chinuch value as well. Because we definitely have an accelerated educational pace. So Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas says, almost like a kid below 6 should be running around doing whatever they want to do. I don't want to see them in yeshiva before 6. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Visafi, however, bar shis kabil." But at the age of 6, we're going to take him in yeshiva. Visafi le ketura. And we're going to stuff him like an ox. Then I was saying, now what does that mean? Safi le ketura, halitehu Torah, kishur sha'atam al itova of somachal. So also, apparently, if people were raising cattle, sometimes I guess they would force feed the cattle in order to fatten it up. So once the kid gets to, we're going to force feed him Torah. So the Gemara says, mihu Eino yorei dimo lechayiv ad la'achar shteim esrei shana. But we don't really get serious in terms of disciplining a child for not learning until ultimately he reaches the age of 12. So the Gemara says, V'i ba'yseima lo kasha. So we'll say, so now, again, remember, so which one is it over here? On one hand, you know, the Gemara seems to say, the first part of the Braisa seems to indicate that you're educating a child even before six. And here we seem to indicate that you're only educating a child after six, to which the Gemara says, Lokasha, Vibai Sema Lokasha, Halamikra Halamishna. It's talking about two different limudim. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, I'm sorry, no, not yet. So one is Lemikra, one is for Chumash, one is for Mishnah. That ultimately, again, before six, ultimately you could go ahead and begin a child on Chumash. And after six, you could begin a child on Mishnah. Damar Abaye, Amar Li Eim, my mother, excuse me, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Damar Abaye, my mother said to me, Amar Li Eim, Bar Shis Lemikra, Bar Esra Lemishnah. That a child could begin to learn Chumash when they're six, and when they're ten, they should begin to learn Mishnah. Bar Tleisra Lata Anisa Me'is Le'is. And I will say, now, interestingly enough, Tlesar literally means 13, but what they mean over here is when a boy enters into his 13th year, which is when? After you reach the age of 12. So at the age of 12, right, when he's reached now his 13th year, he should already be fasting me'es le'es. He should already be fasting the entire day, specifically of Yom Kippur. Right, Rashi says over here, "L'tanisa me'is leis, l'sanos kol hayom, v'chinucha l'shaos mikodom l'chin shnasayim kidamin b'yuma." Most we already saw this in Yuma, that already 2 years before a child enters into his 13th year, he's sure to be fasting a couple of hours on Yom Kippur. But l'maisa, again, in his 13th year, i.e. when he's 12, the year before his bar mitzvah, he shall be fasting the entire day. U'betinokas, but for a girl, bas tresar, she should already begin to fast once she enters her 12th year, i.e. once she's 11 years old, a year before a bas mitzvah.
Interesting that part of the physical
hasn't changed. Right, correct. Everything else has changed, but that piece, correct, that piece has not. Amra bai, amra li aim, my mother said to me, hi, barshis, detarkile arkaba. So I'll say now, the Gemara just also brings in over here some other, we'll call it, I guess, remedy issues. Once Abai is talking about things that his mother taught him. So Amr Abai, Amr Li Aim, my mother said to me, Hai Barshis, the Tarkale Arkaba. So a child who is bitten by a scorpion, Biyoma Dimishlam Shis Lo Chaye, that child will not live past their sixth birthday. So my Asuse, so what is the remedy if a child was bitten by a scorpion? Merirasa didaya chiyurta, you have to take the bile of a white vulture, b'shichra, and mix it with beer, nishafye v'nashkye, and you have to apply, I guess, some of that on the wound, and drink the beer. It's true, just drinking the beer might be a good idea, just in general, right? Especially after getting bitten by a vulture. That's after you spread it, right? So you spread it on the wound, and then afterwards you go and you drink the beer. So hi bar shasa, the tarik lazy bro. Similarly again, if you have a child, 1 year old child that was bitten by a bee, biyoma de mishlim shasa lo chaya. Ultimately again, child will not live past its first birthday. My asuse, so what's the remedy? Atsusa de dikla bimayo. So you take the atsusa de dikla, Rashi says, atsusa de dikla. Rashi says over here, Siv Shagadol Saviv Dekel Tamar Kein Vilat Shekorech Es Eitz Hagefen. So it's interestingly enough, it's palm. They call it palm bast. If you look at a palm tree, so there is like this other type of material that grows at the base of the tree. So you go ahead and you take that. You go and you mix it with water. You apply some of that mixture to the wound, and then you drink some of it as well. All right. So we'll say, first of all, you know, when we get to get in the Mirat Hashem, we're going to see a number of blot devoted to medicinal remedies. So interestingly enough, at the there's a very well known Jewish medical ethicist, and Dr. Abraham. So he writes in the introduction of his Sefer, actually calls Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, that obviously when it comes to medicinal remedies, so we do not listen to Chazal, for the simple reason that Chazal are not coming up with this stuff on their own; they're echoing what was said in greater culture. So this is what contemporary medicine at the time of the Gemara was saying. Now that we know that science has advanced, medicine has advanced, so Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes essentially, don't try these things at home. You know, and we'll see. This is very tame considering to some of the stuff we're going to see in Yerta Hashem and Gittin. But again, so this is what they did in that time. But of course, a person shouldn't say, "Well, you know, I want to be a halachic Jew, so I'm going to go and I'm going to do this." So this is not part of our contemporary halacha. The Gemara goes like that. Amar Rav Katina. But interestingly enough, so if we have time, I want to come back to Rashi later on. But first, let's get through this sugya. So Amar Rav Katina Kolamachnis es beno. Pachos mi ben sheish. Rabbi says, this is actually very interesting. Anyone who brings his son to yeshiva less than 6 years old, Rashi's machnis es beno lilmo Torah, what's going to happen? Ratz acharav ve'eno magio. Now this is interesting. You're going to run after him, and you're not going to catch up to him. Now what it sounds like at first glance, the Gemara saying over here is, the way we translate it is how, a kid is not ready to sit in school. Right? They both say, it's one of the most interesting things, that there's an expectation today that kids sit still for long periods of time from young ages. When if you think about it, it's the most unnatural thing possibly imaginable. Most adults have problems with it, right? All the more so, again, kids who by definition are young, a little bit more vibrant, a little bit more energy filled. But interestingly, that's not what the Gemara is saying. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Ratz acharav lahavroso lachioso. To make him healthy. So you're going to run after him to make him healthy. Ve'eno magio, mesukan hulamos, merov cholsho. Rabbi said, this is so interesting. So the Gemara says, if you put your kid in school, in yeshiva, in the chedra too early, so what's going to happen? At that young age is when he should be running around, is when he should be more vital. And if he's going to be sitting all day and learning, it's going to compromise his health. And if you compromise his health at such a young age, it's going to be difficult ultimately to catch up with him, to make him healthy. Ika da Amri, others say, what it means is no. Chaverim ratzin acharav ve'in maginos. I know what it means is, others say, that what it means is that lemaisa, if you start a child in Torah learning from such a young age, his friends will try to catch up with him, referring to his accomplishments in Torah, and they never will. Habituate a child in Talmud Torah from a young age, and he'll accomplish great things. He'll surpass others. V'tarvayu isnu, and the truth is, they're both correct. V'tarvayu isnu, cholish v'gamer. So we'll say again, ultimately, both of these could be true. Both of these could be true. The Cholish V'Gamir, he could be accomplished Talmud Chacham, but he may be weakened. Ibayis, and the other possibilities, Hadekachish, Hadebari, everything depends on the physical disposition of the child. If the child is a healthy child, then ultimately, again, yeah, you could put him in yeshiva early. If he's not so healthy, if he's a little bit more weakened, one has to be a little bit more careful. Rashi says, Hadekachish, Al Yachnisu, if he's weak, do not put him in yeshiva at an early age. Shemesukunhu, Penyachlish V'Yamos, because Chas HaShalom, he could die. Debari, Rashi says, Yachnisu Lefisha Misbakech. If he's healthy, ultimately put him in yeshiva at a young age in order that he could go ahead and make great accomplishments in Torah. So I will say, this ends the educational piece over here. Remember, again, the reason why this was brought up was because this was another takonon usha. That this takonon usha was that a person should not really go ahead and, you know, make his son's life miserable until 12 if he's not towing the line. Now, Bosa, now it happens to be that, you know, there's always, it's interesting because every time the Gemara quotes a takonon usha, the first question the Gemara asks afterwards is, was it accepted or not? Now, it's interesting because conventional educational wisdom today is somewhat different, meaning it's true. You don't have to force a child to take real accountability for their actions until they get older, but we absolutely know that if a person wants to successfully raise their children, if you set the framework when they're young, it is very difficult to go ahead and suddenly create new expectations of a child who's 12 years old. But if a person, from the time that a child is young, creates certain spiritual expectations, goes ahead and tries to mechanic a child in a certain way, in a loving way, not to chas v'shalom make it feel like an overbearing on the child, but that a parent creates certain spiritual expectations of a child from the time that they're young, then ultimately, again, as the child matures, those expectations will follow them, as opposed to kind of not having too many rules, too many expectations, and then when the child is older, suddenly visiting those expectations upon the child is going to be exceptionally difficult, because as we know, children become set in their ways much earlier than we even realize. But nevertheless, what the Gemara is telling us is Every parent has to know that there's a balance. There's a fine balance between enforcement, between expectations, and ultimately recognizing that your child is a child. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, Ba'usha hiskinu, in Usha they instituted, Ha'isha shemachra b'nichsei malog b'chaye baila. If a woman sold her nichsei malog while her husband's alive, now remember, nichsei malog rabosai is her property. She retains title, but husband has usage of that property. Husband has usage of that property. So what's the halacha? So she is permitted technically to sell it, except really we urge her not to sell it because she's depriving the husband of his abilities to use that property. So what's the halacha? Umeisan, she dies. Haba moti miyada lekuchos. The husband has the status of a purchaser and is able to go ahead and extract those properties from anyone who buys them. Ashkeche Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Rabbi Avo, Tavikai Bo'uchlusa de Usha, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef found Rabbi Avo, who was standing in the crowds of Usha. Amarle, and he said to him, Man marad the Shmaita de Usha, who is one who authored this ruling of Usha, this particular ruling that was said in Usha? Amarle, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. So he said that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina was the author. Tanamine arba in zinin. He learned it, he reviewed it from him 40 times. And he was like someone who had the ruling in his pocket. So he reviewed it over and over and over until he was solid, like someone ultimately, again, who had it firmly embedded in his pocket. Ashrei shomrei mishpat, oset tzedakah b'chaleis. What's the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim. Praiseworthy is the one who keeps mishpat, who keeps justice, who does tzedakah at every moment. Can you go ahead and do tzedakah every single moment? Darshu Rabbi Seinu Shebi Yavne. So the rabbis in Yavne said, "Rami Rabbi Elazar, Zehazon Banav Ubenoso Kshen Ketanim." What's the example of someone who does tzedakah at all times? This is someone who supports his young children. Because remember, we already spoke about before, one is not obligated to do that. Remember, as Tosas, using the wording of Tosas, this is not talking about Ketani Ketanim, right? So Ketani Ketanim, very young children, you are obligated to support, but regular Ketanim, you are not. But if you go ahead and you do so, that is like you are going ahead and giving tzedakah at all times. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, Zame gadol yosom v'yisoma besoch beso. This refers to someone who raises an orphan in his home. If you raise an orphan, that's an act of tzedakah that you are doing at all times. Umasiyon, and then you marry them off. That ultimately, again, is tzedakah at all times. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. This is actually very beautiful. Rashi says, Zazan banav ubnosav ketanim. What does it mean to do perpetual tzedakah? So perpetual tzedakah is if you support your kids. Shetamid yom valayla hi alav. Because we'll say, if you're supporting your children, taking care of your children, that is a full-time responsibility. That responsibility is on your shoulders all of the time, day and night. Rashi says, v'hi tzedakah she'enu chiyuv alav bahen. And it's called tzedakah, because ultimately, again, you're not obligated to do so. Second case was one who goes ahead and supports the Aslam and Amana, marries them off. Hon va'osher b'veso, v'tzid kasa omedes la'ad. Literally, wealth and grandeur will be in his home, and his righteousness will stand forever. What does that refer to? Rav Huna v'Rav Chista, chad amar zehalomet Torah umalamda. So we'll say one opinion said, this refers to someone who learns Torah, and teaches it to others. Because Rabbi says, interesting enough, if you look at Rashi, Zeh alomi Torah malamda, miskayem esbo. Rabbi says, if a person learns Torah, he has the Torah himself. Harei on v'osher veso, v'tzid kaso omedes la'ad al shetarach l'lamed l'tamidim. Rabbi says, if a person has the privilege to teach Torah, they accomplish two things. Number one, they themselves learn, and also they allow for that Torah to stand for all eternity. Why? Because when you teach it to others, the assumption is what? That those others will also pass it on to others as well. And as such, the Torah is endowed with a certain level of eternality as well. Very beautiful idea. However, the Gemara says, "V'chadamar zakosef Torah nevim uksuvim umashin la'achirim." Others, the other explains that it refers to someone who writes Tanakh, writes the Torah nevim uksuvim, and ultimately lends out those svarim to others. Rashi says, "Zakosef hasvarim kayamim lo shinim kalim b'tzikasum on the slad." The svarim will endure for a long time, and therefore the zechuyos that are generated by others learning from it will stand for all eternity. We'll stand for all eternity. So I'll say what's beautiful about this Gemara as well is that you see, interestingly enough, you know, the zechuyos you generate for yourself so are wonderful. But the zechuyos that you generate by enabling others, Those are the things that you really have for all eternity. If you give over, if you convey, if you share of what you have with someone else, those chuyos you have, what's the lashon of the pasuk? Those chuyos they have omedes la'ad. Those stand for all eternity. Ure'evan levanach shalom ayisrael, and you will see children of your children shalom ayisrael. What does that mean? Amrav Yoshua ben Levi, kevan shebanan levanecha. Once you have the schus of seeing your own children have children, so then it's Shalom Yisrael. Then there is peace unto Israel. Why? Delo asi lidei chalitz of libam. Because it was very interesting that once you see your children have children, you know with certainty that what? Your children will never have to, specifically your daughters, will never have to do yibum and chalitz. And for a parent, that's a certain sense of relief. Rabbi Yishol ben Nachmani Amar Kevan Shebanam Levanacha Shalom Yisrael. That's also very interesting. Rabbi Yishol ben Nachmani says, once your children have children, there's also Shalom Yisrael. Why? Shalom al Dayani Yisrael. It'll be Shalom for the judges of Israel. Delo asi le'insuye. That ultimately, again, the family will not come to fight. Now, Bosse, now what's interesting is the Gemara says that once your children have children, if a child, Chas v'Shalom, dies without having children of his or her own, then there might be a fight among the family who's going to inherit them. But once the children have children, then, of course, Chas v'Shalom, children never fight over inheritance, right? So once the children have children, then the Maisa, essentially what the Gemara is saying is, there is a clear succession, meaning we know exactly who the inheritors are. There might be machlokes about how much each child inherits, but Lamaisa, at least it's clear who the inheritors are. So it's quite beautiful. And what's most beautiful about this sugya, which is such an important yesod in life, is that what we do for ourselves is beautiful and is wonderful, but what we do for others, that's our eternal legacy. So the Gemara goes right there. Zem medrash davar shabbi elazar lefein chachamim. Amud beis. Yosef Rav Yosef kamid Rav Hanuna. So I'll say, so Rav Yosef was sitting before Rav Hanuna. V'yosef Rav Hanuna v'ka'amar k'shem she'ein habanim yarshin ela min akarka. The same way that sons of Osai, when they inherit, only inherit from real property. Right? So it's very important you sowed. It's not going to mean it's not true. It's not halacha l'maisa, but it's interesting the way it's being espoused over here. So Rav Yosef same before Rav Hamnuna, and Rav Hamnuna says the following: the same way that sons only inherit real property, so too daughters are only supported from the estate minakarka, also from real property. So again, what's interesting over here is Rav Hamnuna apparently is of the opinion that let's say a father has both real and movable property. So apparently Yerusha only applies to real property, does not apply to movable property. So because in Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer equated the mezonos of the daughter with the inheritance of the sons, so therefore we'll say the same way the sons only get inheritance from real property, therefore daughters are also only supported from real property as well. So avash ale kule alma. Everyone began to yell at Rav Hamnuna. What are you talking about? Look at Rashi. Avash ali kuli alma, vahu lo pirish de banim yarshin, de kamar ksuvas binim dichrinu, usvurim shestam yerusha kamar, shein ha banim yarshin metaltin. Rabbosanara, this is crazy. What are you talking about? We know it's not true. When a son inherits, Rabbosanara, all of the assets of the father, be it real or movable property, everyone begins to yell at Parav Hamuna, de shavik arahu di yarsile bnei. Are you saying that only if a father leaves behind real property that a son inherits him? But if a father does not leave behind real property, the son doesn't inherit, and that's ridiculous. Armali Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, listen to this. This is a very important mussar. You know, I'll say just as an aside, people, this is like a commercial for learning Gemara. So people think that Gemara is interesting because like it's legal, it's technical. The truth is, the reason why there's an incredible emphasis on Gemara is because Gemara has everything. It really is, it's one-stop shopping. You get your Chumash, because like most of us who are educated in the yeshiva or day school system, the way we learn Tanakh is by learning Gemara, because Chasrum we'll learn Tanakh. Right? So we got it, we learn it from Gemara, but there's also Halacha, but also there's also Hashkafa in Musar. You learn a lot of moral, ethical teachings about. Listen to how this plays out. Suddenly, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, "Vidilma ksuvas ben indichren ka'amar mar." So Rav Yosef says, "One second. Maybe Rav Hamnuna is only referring to ksuvas ben indichren." Rabbosai, ksuvas ben indichren means. Remember, we spoke about this yesterday. Was a special clause in the ksuva of a woman, where it's written in her ksuva that male children that you and I have will inherit my ksuva. A woman would do this to protect the interests of her sons if the man had other sons from other marriages. So it's fine, you know, in your total estate, you know, my sons will inherit just like the rest of your sons. But in terms of my ksuva, I want my sons to inherit my ksuva. So Rav Yosef says, why doesn't everybody calm down for a second? Maybe Rav Hamnuna's statement that sons only inherit your property is dafka by the ksuva of their mother. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So we don't have to go through we'll just do it outside. Maybe it's only when inheriting the ksuva of their mother that they only inherit real property. But in terms of regular inheritance law, so sons inherit both real and movable property. So Amarlei, so Rav Hamnuna says to Rav Yosef, thank you. Mar de Gavra Rabahu, Yoda Mai Kamino. You are a great man, and therefore you understood what I was saying. In other words, it's amazing. Everyone jumped on Rav Hamnuna because they made an automatic assumption about what he was saying instead of what? Instead of taking the time to clarify it. So we'll say, Maisim v'chol yom, right? That people say things and we jump and we pounce and we tear them apart. And then they realize, oh, you didn't mean that, right? That's not what you meant. So take the time to clarify what a person says before you react. So here Rav Yossi says, everybody calm down. Rav Hamnuna is not talking about general inheritance law. Rav Hamnuna is simply referring to specifically what we call ksuvas benin dichrin, the ability of sons of women to inherit her ksuva. That halacha is limited to real property and does not apply to movable assets. But in general inheritance law, a son inherits his father, real and movable property alike. Amar Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Rav Zan Michiti Dalia. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef says, Rav used to go ahead and support the daughters from Chiti Dalia. Now we're going back to support for just a moment. So now father dies, the halacha is daughters are supported from the estate. Now this is also one of the Tanai Ksuva. In the Ksuva was written, the same way was written that a woman would write, any male sons that I have should inherit my ksuva. She would also write, any of our daughters will be supported from your estate after your death. So Rav would go ahead and support girls from Chiti Dalia. If you look at Rashi, Rav Zan Michiti Dalia, Yisomos Bo Lifanov. So there were these orphan girls who came before Rav and they were asking for support. Fetovos Mizonos Michiti Davian. They were asking for support from the grain of their father. Shalohayu Sham Karkaos Elementalim Venasal. And I will say, now the chap over here was, this father left no real property, but he left a silo of grain. So they were asking to be supported from the grain. And Rav went ahead and gave it to them. So Iboiluhu. Parnas, so Rabbi says, so the Shaila said, what does Chiti Da'aliya mean? So the Gemara says, Ibailu, so what happened over here? Parnasa Havya? So what are they asking for? So was it Parnasa? And Rabbi says, Parnasa means, if you look at Rashi, Lo Mazonos Hayu, Ela Parnasas Nedunya Lina, say, Vahi Gabya Mimetaltali. So what are they asking for? So one possibility was they're asking for Parnasa. And I will say, Parnasa doesn't mean like what you think it means. Parnasa means Nedunya. Parnasa means a dowry. So are they asking for a dowry? Umaya, and Rav gave it to them. Umaya Aliyah, what does Aliyah mean? Me'iluya da'av. He gave their dowry from the best property of the father. Ukidah Shmuel, and this is in accordance with the statement of Shmuel. Da'amar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, Leparnasa shamin ba'av. Well, this is actually very interesting. Shmuel said, I will say, if the father died, and now, let's say, either the apotropis, who is like the executor of the estate, the trustee, or Beis Din has to decide on a dowry, we give a dowry to the girl based on what we knew of the father. So if we know that the father was very generous with his children, we would go to him, we would give her a generous dowry. So in this case over here, what happened? So the father died. So the girls come to Rav for a dowry. Rav knew the father was very generous. So what did he do? He gave them Michiti de'aliyah. He gave them from the best of the father's property for their dowry. Oh, then the other possibilities. No, what were they coming for? Mizoni mamishava. Perhaps that they were literally coming for mamish mizonos. They weren't coming for dowry, but they were literally coming for mizonos. So umay aliyah. But if that's the case, if they were coming for parnasa, for actual support, then what does it mean that he gave them Michiti de'aliyah? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, "Midvarim tovrim shene'emru ba'aliyah." He gave them from the good things that were said ultimately again in the Aliyah. And what is that? Look at Rashi. Odom zoni mamish va'afa gav detnai k'suva k'suva ve'enig vismi metaltali dechol asmachta d'shtari akar kosi lefi she'omdos ben rav sarva l'katanas aliyah v'haynu d'kar mechiti d'aliyah. So also listen to this. Others explained that they were coming for support. They were coming for support. And the support, and therefore Rav held like the takana that was made in the Aliyah, that was made in the attic, which is another reference to the takana of Husha, which is what? That a girl is even supported from a Taltalin. That even if all the father left behind was movable property, girls are still supported even from movable property. In the Aliyah, in the attic, they went ahead and they instituted Sheyehei Benos Nizonos Min HaMataltalin, that girls are supported even from movable property as well. That one might have thought that the takana to support one's daughter only applies when there's real property. Kamashmala, no, she's supported even from movable property. Tashma, biadei derebi v'noi, achua derebichia, bar abba, havu metaltlin diyasmi. So let's listen to this. Another case. Rabbi Benoi, who was the brother of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, which I should say the son of the brother of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he was, I guess, the trustee for property of Yisomim. Havu metaltlin diyasmi. Asu l'kamei de Shmuel. See, came before Shmuel. I should say, they came before Shmuel. The daughters of the deceased came before Shmuel. Amar le zil zon. Supposed to listen to this. So apparently, Rabbi Banai was the trustee for this estate. The daughters of the deceased came before Shmuel, and they wanted to be supported from the estate. Amar le zil zon. So, and Shmuel instructed Rabbi Banai to support the daughters. My love le mezoni, could Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef. So, what were they asking for? Were they asking for mezonos? And therefore, again, I both say Shmuel was saying that Allah follows Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, who says that you even support daughters from movable property. So the Gemara says, lo hasan le parnasav. You know, it's not true. The girls actually were coming to ask not for mezonos, but rather for what? For dowry. They're coming to ask for dowry. Ushmuel atame, and Shmuel goes according to his reasoning. The Amar Shmuel le parnasa shaman ba'av. That ultimately, I will say, when it comes to parnasa, when it comes to dowry, how do we establish dowry? We look at the giving patterns of the father. And since the father ultimately was a generous person, therefore we would give a generous dowry. Hava uvda ben Arda. There was an episode that occurred in Arda. Vidon dayoni ben Arda. Bipumpadisa. Va'agvi. So we'll say, so what happened? So there was an episode with Inarda, and the judges in Narda judged like they normally judge in Pumpadisa. Va'agvi, and ultimately they allowed the collection of metaltalin to go ahead and support the daughters. Rav Chana bar Bezna Amarlu Rav Nachman, Zilu Ahadru. He better go and give it back. Ve'ilo magvina lechu la'apandaychu minaychu. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, apparently Rav Chana bar Bezna was very upset. Was very upset that the judges went ahead and seized movable property for the sake of supporting the daughters, and he ordered them to give it back, and he told the Dayanim, if you don't give it back, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to go ahead and seize your mansions. He was talking to the Dayanim, and repay with your own money. All right? Rav Ami and Rav Asi suffer l'mezin metaltali. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi felt that it was appropriate to support a daughter from the movable property of her father. Amr Rav Yaakov bar Idi Milsa de Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish lo avda be'uvda asa avdan be'uvda. Something that Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish were nervous to rule about, and you're going to rule about. Rabbi Elazar sovar lemezim metaltlin. So again, Rabbi Elazar wanted to support a daughter from metaltlin. Amr lefan of Rabbi Shimon al Yakim. Rabbi Yodea ani becha she'in midas hadin ata osa. Rabbi, I know that when you want to support the daughters from metaltlin, it's not really because the halacha allows for that. Rather, what? Elamidas rachmanos, but rather you are rachaman, right? You're compassionate, and therefore you don't want the daughters to have nothing, and therefore you're going to support them from the movable property. Ela shema yiru hatamidim v'yikpu halach ledoros. But Rabbi, so you have, but Rabbi, you have to be careful. Why? Because the talmidim look at what you do, and when the talmidim see that you are seizing movable property for the sake of supporting the daughters, they are going to assume that, why are you doing that? You're doing that ultimately because that is the halacha. Not Rabbi Yehuda said, understand that obviously Beis Din has discretion with monetary matters. So Beis Din has the ability, if they want to seize assets, that's Hefker Beis Din Hefker, they absolutely have that right. So for example, in this case over here, so Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim, actually I should say it differently, Rabbi Elazar was going to go ahead and support daughters from the movable property of their father's estate. Now, what happened? Now, the reason Rabbi Elazar was doing that was because whatever the situation was, he felt that that was what the situation demanded. So comes along Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi, I know that you are not deciding this because this is the halacha, but you're deciding this because this perhaps is an extreme case that requires it. But Rabbi, please be careful, because when you paskin that the daughters can be supported from the movable property of the estate, people are not going to be aware of your motivations. All they're going to see is what? Is your halachic decision. And what you are going to do through this halachic decision is create precedent. And once you create precedent, that will morph into halacha, and people will assume that halacha is that you could support daughters from movable property. Therefore, Rabbi, please be very careful, and please think twice before you do it. Now, interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't tell us what Rabbi Elazar actually did or not, but Lamaisa, what you do see from here is that the Ikra halacha is not necessarily that the girls are supported from the metal. So we'll stop over here for today. So just understand what we're left with from this sugya. So what we're left with, first on Amud Aleph, we saw a number of other takanos susha. So far we have all the takanos susha. Now again, there are many more takanos susha, but so far we have that again, you have to support your children until the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. If you give away your property to your children, they are obligated to support you from it. You can't give away more than 1/5 of your entire wealth for tzedakah. Go ahead and take it easy on your children until the age of 12. But at the age of 12, if they are not towing the line, then mamish, crack the whip. We also saw that if a woman goes out and sells her nichsei malug, after her death, the husband has the ability and the right to go back and to collect that nichsei malug from the creditors. Now, what that opened up for us is another discussion about property after death. So the Gemara says over here, the Gemara wanted to suggest, Rav Hamnuna said, that when it comes to ksuva spinin dichrin, the special clause in the ksuva that allows the male children of a wife to collect her ksuva, that only applies to real property. That real property, not to movable property, but in all other areas of inheritance law applied to real and movable property alike. Now the Gemara was fixated on the kasha, or on the discussion, about whether or not we know that when a father dies, so his daughters are supported from the estate. The shayla is, what does that obligation of support encumber? Everybody agrees it will encumber what? It will encumber real property. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said that it even applies to movable property, but that is a subject of dispute. Temir Tashem be resolved tomorrow.